Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Rev Hang. I am Nathan, and alongside me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Ben Bagley. How you doing, Ben?
Doing great. I got a new graphics card, and it's very exciting.
That is very exciting. Tell me about it.
It's a 9070 XT that I got on a crazy sale, actually. That was honestly the main reason I got it. I was going to get a 7900 XT, like a used one on eBay, and I saw this, and I was like, well, it's only like twice as much. Why not? It wasn't actually twice as much, but GPU prices are still crazy nowadays. But yep. I got the Sapphire Nitro Plus, which is very cool. It's Sapphire Nitro Plus card is like my favorite. I had one as a 5700 XT, and then I didn't have enough money for the 6700 XT Sapphire Nitro Plus.
That's mine.
Yeah. So now I was able to afford the Sapphire Nitro Plus 9070 XT, and it's wonderful. Nice. I've been playing a game that I can't actually say because I've signed an NDA. On the closed technical test, but you know, one of the high profile games that's in closed technical testing right now, made by a company that made a game that rhymes with mayo.
Oh, I see.
Does that work?
I don't know. I didn't sign the NDA. don't rope me into this. I don't want to be complicit in whatever you're doing. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, but it's very exciting. I can play Helldivers without stuttering on the loading screen, which is honestly the biggest achievement.
Nice. Well, this is not a computer hardware podcast. As much as I know Ben and I would love that.
It'd be so easy.
Ben would just...
If I ever make my own YouTube channel, it'll honestly be pretty unoriginal because it'll just be
An LTT knockoff.
Yeah, whatever the other LTT employees you left are doing, but I'd be so happy.
Yeah, exactly. It would make you happy. And that would make me happy, Ben. All right, this is not a computer podcast. This is a racing podcast. So let's dive into some racing. There wasn't enough time for paddock news this week, as we just had a race last week, and now here's another one.
Is there really no paddock news?
I don't think so.
There's got to be something.
There were a bunch of rookies that took part in free practice one. George Russell watched FP1 from the stands.
Yeah,
in a luchador mask.
Yeah, that was kind of weird when I saw that.
Yep.
I can't think. Infinity's making a Q50 with a manual transmission.
There we go.
We were talking about this earlier. I was trying to figure out a way to wiggle it in, and I know it's very off topic, but I just think it's funny because back then it was kind of crazy. But now, like back then, a G35 with a manual transmission was like, wow, Infinity's really going places. Now, would you spend conceivably $50,000 on an Infiniti Q50 with a manual transmission?
Or, hear me out, you get the sport package of the new Nissan Z. Okay, I'm a sucker for the Zs also.
Even
like,
the new one?
The new one, the front is ugly, but the rest I love. Or you could get a Supra.
I was going to say, I would buy a Supra in a heartbeat over a new Z car.
The only reason I wouldn't get a Supra is because, I mean, I guess if you're buying a $50,000 car, you can afford to maintain it, but...
Yeah, and you might as well get the one with the best one. Honestly, you could probably argue that the B58 is probably one of the best engines to have come out in the past 25 years.
This is fair. I mean, I don't know, that twin turbo V6.
What about the turbo I6? They put that in everything. They put that in an off-roader.
Yeah.
The Ineos Grenadier uses the same motor as the Supra. And it's great. I don't know. I just think it's cool. I think Supra hate is unjustified. I think
I never hated on the Supra.
I'm talking to the general audience here, okay. You know. I think the Supra hate is unjustified. I think everybody, oh, it's a BMW, and it's not really a Supra. If BMW didn't step in and say, hey, Toyota, do you want to make an inline six sports car? You wouldn't have a Supra to complain about in the first place.
You probably wouldn't even have a revamped 86 to complain about.
Yeah, we had to go to Subaru to get that, but you don't complain about the GT86 being a Subaru BRZ. No, that's different. No, we should be grateful that BMW encouraged Toyota to actually do something with its actual legendary sports car names, not do a Mitsubishi, and turn the Eclipse into an SUV crossover.
Hey, Toyota, what do we have to do to convince you to bring back the MR2?
There's rumors that it's coming back.
Please.
We don't know what it'll come back as.
It's going to be electric because they're going to.
Because of the prelude?
Don't say the word prelude around me ever again. Oh,
not
around my
family.
They should have left it dead. What a great car until they brought it back.
At least the Integra is pretty cool.
The Integra looks good. It's not what it used to be.
No car is what it was used to be.
Can we just, like, go back to the 90s, please?
No.
Okay.
I have a truck with air ride suspension.
You could buy a Toyota Supra with a 2JZ for $35,000, Ben.
You could buy one now used.
Not for $35,000. That's stock. I guess we're doing this.
You could talk about the Mexico City Grand Prix. I'm on a different track.
Ben is on a mission. Oh, I'm talking about the old ones.
Oh, I'm talking about
the Gen 4 Supras. Are you talking about a current Supra?
I'm talking about, yeah.
Base price is like, yeah, like 40 grand.
Yeah.
Sticker. So you're going to pay 50 because dealerships.
Well, this one's 39 used.
39,990. Sorry.
Yeah. But it's on sale from $40,590. That's a $600 price drop.
That is a price drop. It is a price drop, yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's move into qualifying for the Mexico City Grand Prix. This podcast has become something in the last few weeks. It really is. And I'm not actually that upset about it.
It's having the X-Men arc.
All right. Qualifying. On pole position was Lando Norris, followed by Charles Leclerc and Lewis Hamilton. Fourth and fifth were Russell and Verstappen. Sixth through ten were Antonelli, Sainz, Piastri, Hadjar, and Behrman. Moving into the race, Lando kept the lead on the start. Verstappen went off the track going around the outside of turn one, but managed to keep P4. On lap six, Verstappen dove down the inside of Hamilton, barging him out of the way. He then went off track to complete the pass. When Hamilton fought back, he locked up and cut the track, maintaining his original position, and for that received a 10-second penalty. Pain. Absolute Ferrari pain. Behrman made up a ton of positions in the early stages of the race, and he made it up to P3 after Hamilton's penalty was served. Mercedes fought positions to let Russell chase Behrman for P3. Piastri was able to pass Antonelli in the pits after McLaren had an absolutely fantastic pit stop, and Verstappen chased down Leclerc, and Piastri chased down Behrman for the remainder of the race until a late virtual safety car that was completely unnecessary ended any chance of a firework finish.
Like Verstappen could have had Leclerc if he had one more lap.
Not at all. Anyway, it was a fantastic race that was building up to just the most insane ending you could possibly imagine until Carlos Sainz parked his car behind the wall and caused a VSC.
Absolutely sloppy race. Unimaginable. Those first few laps, people were just... It was like watching IMSA. People were just like, I will dive bomb this corner to get past the traffic, and if I go into the grass, then I'll go into the grass.
Yeah, and you think I'm giving the position back? You're insane. Do you think they're going to give me a penalty for it? You're also insane.
Just give me the penalty.
FIA says no, except Hamilton.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving into the results of the race, Lando Norris won by 30.324 seconds. Not particularly close at the front. Followed by Leclerc and Verstappen. Fourth and fifth were Behrman and Piastri. Sixth through ten were Antonelli, Russell, Hamilton, Ocon, and Bortoleto. 11 through 15 were Tsunoda, Albon, Hadjar, Stroll, and Gasly. 16th, rounding out the finishers, was Kala Pinto. We had four retirements, and it was Sainz, Alonso, Hulkenberg, and Lawson.
One of Kala Pinto's best finishes this season?
Last, but 16th, yes. So, Lando Norris is now leading the championship as a result of this race, leading by a measly 1 point. But leading nonetheless. Verstappen had a net positive race. Going into the race, he was down 40 points to the championship leader, and now he is only down 36 points. So, we call that progress, even though he didn't win the race.
He only needs 9 more races at this pace to catch up.
Exactly. I like the positivity, Ben, considering there's 4 races left.
Yeah.
Oscar Piastri has been struggling recently. Not really sure why. He was pretty clearly the fastest car for the first half of the season.
He had to trade with Lando Norris.
Definitely had the measure of Lando to trade with Lando. And then after Baku, when he crashed into the wall, it just seems like he can't get out of this mental funk.
He's like, it's my turn to be mentally against myself now.
Yeah, exactly. So he is kind of handing this championship to Lando unless he can somehow turn his mental state around, because it seems like just like a mental block at this point. I wonder if that incident in Monza really kind of screwed him up. But yeah, hopefully Oscar can get that turned around for his own sake, even though I secretly want Lando to win the championship because this is the only chance he'll ever have.
Seattle Mariners vibes.
I like all the teams that make it until the postseason and then just choke immediately. That's my life as a Ducks fan, a Mariners fan.
The Ducks, too. I always forget about that.
How we make it all the way and then we don't. Yeah.
Yeah. It really helps having gone to the distance I have, having gone to an Oregon State University doesn't even have a football team. Really helps my mentality with that. I'm like, yeah. Technically, my team doesn't even exist, so it could be worse.
Could be worse, but yes, no. Number one in the country last year for three quarters of the season. Get to the first round of the playoffs and get blown out like 35-20 or something like that. Yeah, it wasn't even that close. Regardless, let's not dive into my sports pain. Ollie the Bear Bearman.
Oh my gosh. Generational.
Absolute P4.
Magnussen could never.
Grosjean did once. Tying Haas's best finish ever with a P4. Still looking for their first podium.
Do you think this was... How much of a fluke do you think this was? I won't ask if you think this was a fluke, but I will ask, how much of a fluke do you think this was? Like, 100% fluke? Like, the gods of the Mexico City Grand Prix reached down and picked up his car and put it right behind third place? Or, like, 20%? Like, there's some weird strategy going on, some DNFs that played a part. Or 0%? He did it pure driving skill and car speed alone.
That's an interesting question, because I don't think it was necessarily a fluke, but I also don't think it's repeatable. So I'm gonna say it was 40%.
40%. I was gonna say, yeah, that feels right.
40% fluke. I think he absolutely earned that P4. It wasn't just dumb luck, kind of like Hülkenberg's podium at the beginning of the year or in the middle of the year at Silverstone. It was a dry race. There were no safety cars. Like, it was
the man. Meaningful safety cars.
Right. Well, I mean, to be fair, the safety car is probably the reason he finished fourth and not fifth. But I don't know. I think he would have finished. It would have been close. Regardless, he was fast. I mean, it took Piastri forever to catch up to him. Russell couldn't catch him. Like, he was pulling away from George Russell at several points during the race. He made it up to that part of the track to begin with, and then just took a gamble on strategy with Verstappen behind, and it didn't really pay off for the podium. But I mean, it wouldn't. Verstappen would have caught him anyway. He was gaining by like a second a lap. So
yeah.
I mean, I think just overall a fantastic race from Bearman. Again, don't think it's super repeatable. You're not going to see a Haas in the top five every week now. It's not exactly how that works. But where did Ocon finish? Ninth? I mean, ninth. Haas had a...
That's still
points. Haas just had a good race, and they brought a bunch of upgrades to the U.S., like big upgrades. And so I don't think it's out of the question to expect points from at least one Haas moving forward for the rest of the season. But a P, like, top five is, I think, gonna, that's pushing it. You think? You get a Haas in the top five, I think that's a pretty outstanding result. However, I do think Bearman after another year at Haas. I think he's the next guy for Ferrari once whoever leaves, whether it's Hamilton or Leclerc.
That's a fun question.
Unless Verstappen wants to jump to Ferrari for some reason. Which, just like, why would hilarious. You jump into that pain?
You're like, Verstappen, Max Verstappen.
I want it to be hard for me to win a championship.
You only have to race every other race.
Yes.
And we'll pay for a brand new sim racing rig. And we'll give you your own GT3 team. You can race in it and you can run it.
I mean, they've already done that.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this fifth place, and I guess Ocon's points a little bit, actually put Haas into kicking distance of Racing Bulls in sixth place. I don't think they reach Williams in fifth, but they could conceivably beat RB.
Yeah, by the end of the season. I think they'll beat Aston Martin, who has once again regressed moving towards the end of the season.
As is customary.
As is tradition. Racing Bulls, they're 10 points behind. That's going to be tough. But I also think Racing Bulls has kind of stagnated since the middle of the season. They haven't really moved up. So I do think it's possible for them to score 10 more points than Racing Bulls before the end of the year. But it's going to require another couple good races from them. Alpine is just...
It's a non-issue.
Yeah. Alpine does exist, though.
Alpine persists, therefore so will I.
Yes, indeed.
If it can be this bad for them and they still keep going, then surely nothing bad could happen to me.
I can get up and go to work tomorrow if Alpine exists, yes.
I have to remember that. Put that as my phone alarm. Listen, Pierre Gasly is still racing, therefore you can keep going too.
Yes, indeed. Oh, Pierre Gasly's been so anonymous this year.
I know.
You never hear any radios from him or Colapinto. You never see them on track.
Last race.
When?
When Colapinto decided not to let Gasly through.
I guess, yeah, that's true, but you never heard Gasly's radio.
Yeah.
It was just Colapinto.
I'm sure Gasly is just, like, watching it all go on around him.
Yeah, it's been super weird. Like, you've not heard from Gasly at all this year. But anyway, I think Williams has gone back to designing their cars with Microsoft Excel.
What? How? When?
I don't know, but apparently their pit limiters don't even work now, so that's fun. Carlos Sainz with two speeding in the pit lanes penalties.
Forgot to put that into Power BI.
Got a drive-through penalty after the second speeding in the pit lane. Probably had to manually drive through the pit lane with no limiter going in the drive-thru. I was just thinking, like, he serves his drive-thru penalty. How is he not speeding in the pit lane with the penalty? He just drives through every race. And then his engine exploded, so...
It didn't even matter. No. Clearly something else was going on. You could see his car, like, bucking in the pit lane.
Yeah.
Which is, like, when I first started trying to learn how to drive a manual.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, rah, 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 rah. Like, you gotta give it more power. And it's like, but I don't want to go 15 miles an hour in the parking lot.
Yeah, but still, Alpine is so bad that both cars, Carlos Sainz went in for a pit stop, got a penalty for speeding in the pit lane, went back in for a second pit stop, served a 5-second penalty before taking that pit stop, got another penalty for speeding in the pit lane, then did a drive-through penalty, and came out on track 20 seconds ahead of both Alpines. That's how bad Alpine is.
That's like two laps behind.
It's crazy. Anyway, as Ben was saying, Haas is pretty close to P7, especially. Well, P7 and 6 in the championship. Williams had a good first half of the year, so they're pretty untouchable in 5th, which is wild considering their recent form. Lando Norris has taken the lead of the Drivers' Championship from Oscar Piastri. Max Verstappen still in it, I think, has a solid shot, especially if we see Lando and Oscar crash into each other at some point.
That would be so funny.
That would be insane. That would be crazy. George Russell, I think, is probably officially not quite. Just barely mathematically. One more race and he'll be out. But by like 1 point, another sprint race is still. So... But still, probably after next week, because next week is a sprint race, he'll probably be mathematically out of the championship. But there is hope. All we need is Lando Norris, Oscar Piastri, and Max Verstappen to DNF the next four races and sprint races, and George Russell to win all of them, and he can be the world champion.
Even most of those things happening is not a guarantee that George Russell would come first.
No. It's going to be probably like Leclerc and Hamilton. Yeah, probably. Anyway.
Anywho.
Moving into the pit stop championship, in first place this week was Oscar Piastri with a time of 2.1 seconds, followed by Leclerc and Behrman. Fourth and fifth were Bortoleto and Albon. Sixth through ten were Sainz, Hadjar, Antonelli, Stroll, and Russell. Slowest pit stop of the day was Liam Lawson with a time of 13.69 seconds.
Womp womp.
Womp womp.
Tsunoda not far behind, though?
Nope. 11.85 seconds. Probably also a wing change, but maybe not. Who knows? Moving into standings for pit stops. Leclerc and Hamilton still way out in front. Leclerc, yep, not quite won the championship yet, but he's going to. Tsunoda in third. Ferrari, of course, won the championship, as we saw last week.
I wonder when Ferrari got so good at pit stops.
This year, apparently.
Huh.
Because that's the first year, yeah. Red Bull is garbage for some reason this year.
They've honestly not been that great for the past few years.
Red Bull?
I feel like it.
I mean, they won last year.
Did they really?
They won the, yeah, pit stop. I thought it was McLaren last year. They won the last 2 years. Maybe it was. Red Bull was good last year. I know that. Williams really dropped off, though. Williams used to be a really good pit stop team, and now they're not. Absolutely not.
They said we have a midfield car. We no longer have to focus on our pit stops.
Yep.
Thank goodness.
News, though.
News?
News. Haas is no longer in last place in the pit stop championship.
Mein Gott.
They have passed Aston Martin.
So R.I.P. Aston Martin.
Haas now has 41 points, and Aston Martin has 40. Moving into the overtake of the week, I gave this to Esteban Ocon for his overtake on Alex Albon on lap 35. It was a beautiful, beautiful sequence of corners. Ocon went around the outside of turn one, inside of turn two, after Albon tried the switchback and then the double switchback. Ocon managed to stay in front. Just a gorgeous, gorgeous pass. Good racing from both of them. There weren't a lot of non-turn one dive bombs for passes this week, so I gave it that one.
It's just so easy.
Mm-hmm. With the front straight that long, it's kind of the place to overtake. All right, moving into our predictions for the week. To remind everybody of our top five, it was Norris, Leclerc, Verstappen, Behrman, and Piastri. Who could have possibly seen Behrman or predicted him as a dark horse?
Predicted?
Yeah. I think someone's cheating in a back room somewhere. Ben, give me what you said for the top five.
If I was cheating, I would be doing a lot better right now.
That is fair. What'd you say for your
top
five?
I did get Norris in first, so that's a big win. Verstappen in second, so close. Russell, Leclerc, and Hamilton. But I did have Behrman as my dark horse, and he did quite well, so no complaints there.
He did. I had Verstappen winning this race. Was not in the cards. Followed by Leclerc in second, which I did get, and Norris in third. I had Piastri fourth. Dang you, Behrman. Bleh, if I could speak. If only that VSC had not happened, I would have gotten 2 points.
That would have been pretty good, yeah. I still would have had Behrman. Nothing would have changed for me, actually.
I had Hamilton fifth, and Tsunoda is my dark horse, and Tsunoda was nowhere close.
Nope.
Granted, his strategy was garbage. Thanks, Red Bull. Fastest lap went to George Russell. What did you say, Ben?
I had Lando Norris.
I had Verstappen. Driver of the day, of course, went to Ollie Bearman. What did you say?
I had George Russell.
And I had Bortoleto, who did score points. He came in 10th, I believe. Moving into Brazil for the Brazilian Grand Prix. One of my favorites of the year, the one I look forward to at the end of the season. That in Vegas, which
honestly understandable.
I don't hate Vegas. I thought I was going to hate Vegas when it first appeared on the calendar, and then the first race was amazing, and then the second race was pretty good.
And also, you can still watch it Sunday morning like a normal race. You just don't have to watch it live and wait for all like the pre-show stuff to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You can just watch it like a normal race and skip all the Vegas stuff.
You could do that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll still be watching it on Saturday night because I've got nothing better to
this
do.
This guy
on a
loves
Saturday
Usher.
Night. That's right.
He can't wait to see his favorite washed up 2005 artists.
Hold the phone. Hold on.
Yeah. Okay. What are they
Hold
doing?
Hold on, Las Vegas GP date. Tell me it's not. It is. I will be at a Duck game on that day.
Oh, no.
Oregon versus USC start time. It's probably not announced
it's
yet.
It's only USC, right?
It's only USC. Number 23 USC. Number 23 USC.
Those boys are going to the Fiesta Bowl for sure.
Yeah, I'm nervous about that game, Ben. So you just keep talking up the Ducks as much as I appreciate that. Anyway, I may be at a football game when this race starts, so hopefully not. All right.
Text you like the craziest things about the live race. I'll watch it. Be like, Nathan, the craziest thing just happened. A B-21 bomber crashed into the grandstands at the turn.
I don't believe you. Continue.
Nathan, they pulled up all the manhole covers.
All the manhole
covers. Replaced them with spike traps.
Carlos Sainz flipped into the stands. All right. Moving into the
Nathan,
Brazilian
Duke
Grand Prix.
Nukem is there. He has an RPG.
That's so random. Give me your top five for Brazil, Ben.
I've got Norris, Piastri, Leclerc, Verstappen, and Russell, because you got to have a Mercedes in the top five in Brazil. Just wouldn't be right otherwise.
Right.
But it's definitely not going to be Hamilton, I don't think. Better luck in 2026. And I have Bearman as my dark horse again, because why not?
Why not? I've got Russell winning this race, followed by Verstappen and Norris, and then Piastri and Leclerc in fourth and fifth. And my dark horse is Liam Lawson, because reasons unknown.
Because the law of the statistical law of averages is a real thing, and surely it's got to average out at some point.
Surely Lawson has to get a top five finish at some point in his career. Fastest lap, what do you got, Ben?
I have Russell.
I've got Leclerc, driver of the day. What do you got, Ben?
I've got Leclerc.
And I've got Verstappen.
Ooh.
So, that will round off our predictions for this week. What do you got for us in terms of wise words, Ben?
Yes, so it's kind of a two-parter. So the first part is,
oh boy,
don't have a flat roof if you live in a place where it rains.
Good call.
And the second part is, if you do have a flat roof, don't wait until fall, late fall, to seal it. If there's cracks in it, seal it during the summer when sealant actually works. Or else you'll be waiting for an hour break in a rainstorm and try to dry it off with leaf blower and towels. And then you'll try to, you know, patch over it really quick, and then it'll start raining and it won't seal, and you'll still have drips inside your house. So then you'll just be frustrated and kind of wet because you're putting all your tools away in the rain. And then you'll go inside, and then you'll look outside in the evening when it's too cold to put stuff on again, and it'll be like nice and sunny and the clouds have gone away.
It's real sad, Ben.
It's real sad.
Real sad.
Yeah, so just don't have a flat roof, and if you do, just seal it up in the summer. Plan out your maintenance on your house appropriately.
So fix things before they're a problem?
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, schedule them, even.
Preventative maintenance.
Imagine.
We see that. All right. Thank you for that, Ben. We have one more segment that I know you are itching.
It's very exciting.
Itching.
I love my niche segments.
Ben, it's time for your Craigslist pick of the week.
It's,
what do you got?
It's so niche. It's not even that amazing or crazy. I have found a 2014 BMW 3 Series. What's special about this is the Active Hybrid 3, which, history lesson, this came out in 2013. This is one of BMW's first hybrids that they came out with. And, of course, they're BMW, so they wanted to do it a little bit differently. They're like, oh, we got to be driver-focused, because this is back when they actually cared about making driver's cars, which is not something they really seem to care about a whole lot anymore. But they had a 55-horsepower motor between the transmission and the engine. So instead of a torque converter, they had a 55-horsepower motor, which is kind of similar to, like, a mild hybrid system nowadays. allegedly you could drive up to 2 miles on this battery pack. Very exciting. But all it really served to do was make the car heavier, and despite making 35 more horsepower, which, you know, BMW people love pointing out how much horsepower they make, is a bragging right. Unfortunately, the car is slower than the normal 335i, despite costing $5,000 more when it was new, in order to get a whopping total of 2 miles per gallon better on the highway versus the, or no, not the highway, the city versus the standard one. It got about the same miles per gallon on the highway as the standard 335i.
You know what's crazy, Ben?
What?
You said it cost $5,000 more as an option when it was new.
Yeah.
Well, now it's $5,000 less than what you would get a regular 335.
Yeah, and it's, the reason for that is the batteries were made by A123 Systems, which went bankrupt. Wait, hold on. They went bankrupt, essentially. They're bought by Wanjiang, so now it's Wanjiang A123 Systems. They don't really make these battery packs anymore. And if your battery pack dies and it doesn't take a charge anymore, the car will go into limp mode. It will essentially kill itself.
We'll stay there forever.
It'll become undrivable until you get a brand new battery or figure out how to fix yours. And it's not really easy to do. So it's kind of a fun gamble. I'm not saying you could buy it, but I think it's a fun little history lesson on BMW's quest towards making bigger and heavier cars year over year. Because arguably this generation of BMW was kind of like the last great 3 Series in my mind. The F80 was, I think I remember that being fine, but it kind of lost like a lot of that feel because it made a whole bunch of changes, got a little bigger. And the one after that, don't even get me started. And of course, then you have the whole BMW IM debacle.
Yeah. We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about the BMW IM. But yeah, this is kind of where it all started going wrong. But it's kind of cool. You would never know that it's more expensive and heavier and slower than a regular 335i. Unless you saw the badge. But it's actually pretty clean for having 160,000 miles on it.
Yeah. I would love an M3 type car. It's not even my favorite BMW, but I would still love one.
Yeah.
My favorite BMW, of course, is the GR Supra. So,
and we're back, baby.
With that, thank you, Ben. And thank you, the listeners, so much for watching and or listening to this episode of Rev Hang. If you liked it, leave a like or rating on the platform you listened on. Subscribe or follow if you'd like to see more. If you want to see updated standings for IndyCar and F1 or a calendar of upcoming racing from F1, check out our website, revhang.com. If you have a question about racing or about us, hit us up on any socials in comments or DMs, and we may feature your question on the next show. You can follow Ben on Instagram at BenjiMeetsWorld and myself at 2N_squared. You can follow the RevHang page on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, anywhere at RevHang Media. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about the Formula One Brazilian Grand Prix in Sao Paulo. But until then, I've been Nathan.
And I'm Ben.
Thanks for hanging out.
See you later.